You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is our first show. Well, no, it actually isn't. We did the show in the new year, didn't we, Tribe? So it's our second show in the new year. We've got a great guest with us. We've got Mark Schwartz with us, the founder of CheckView, a really innovative plugin. Plus, he is the principal of a successful agency in Atlanta, Inspire, that does quite complicated Woo and Shopify integrations. We're going to be talking about Matt's journey with his plugin and about running a, not totally, but a highly emphasized WordPress agency, how he sees things going in general. Should be a great interview. So Matt, can you give us a quick 10-15 seconds intro, and when we come back from our break, we'll delve into your background in a bit more detail.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, guys, so much, Jonathan and Kurt, for having me. My name is Matt Schwartz. I run Inspire, as you said, an agency here in Atlanta, and CheckView, which is a WordPress plugin. So look forward to diving in.
That'd be fantastic. And I've got my great co-host, Kurt. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Jonathan, my name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana No Más. We focus largely on learning and membership sites, and we work directly with the team at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. We're going to go for a quick break. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show. Plus, we've got a created list of great plugins and services aimed at the freelancer or the small agency owner. It's all great stuff. You can get all these free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals, and you get all the goodies there. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you get on that page. Everybody always smiles at that, but I don't know why, but there we go. I think they only listen to hear that, actually, Matt, half of them. I don't know. So, Matt, let's delve into your background. So, what led you initially into the world of web development and specifically WordPress then, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. So I started building websites when I was probably in like, I don't know, probably fifth grade, fourth grade. You know, it was back in the day when you created HTML tables and Template Monster was like the thing to use. Like I would just go to their website and just stare in the middle of class. Like I was such a nerd. I'd be like, oh, these are such cool designs, right? I remember being like, Mom, that's what I want for Christmas. And she's like, what is wrong with you? But anyways, yeah, you know, I did a lot of web stuff growing up for clubs and that sort of thing. I started, I think it was like ninth grade. I got my first like paid gig. It was from my mom's dental office. But that was cool. And, you know, I was doing a lot of HTML stuff. And then from there, it was really not until college that I really used a CMS. And I started with Drupal because that's what the University of Georgia used, which was a really hard beginning for me for a CMS just because, you know, it's a beast. From there, I started exploring other ones. I did like an internship at Disney and they wanted me to pick their internal CMS for It was at the time an Animal Kingdom, and I looked at kind of Joomla, WordPress, Drupal. Ironically, we landed on Joomla, but I started using WordPress.
This is going downhill quick.
Right, yeah. But we then, you know, I started using WordPress for my own stuff on the side based on that kind of experience. It was still a little bit more of a blogging platform at that point. I was like 2008, 2009. But yeah, I started using it after that. And over the years, we built in a lot of different platforms, but we were already using WordPress about half the time by probably 2013. I was building Woo sites around that time even. I started building out sites and actually had some of my biggest clients early on with Woo, which was good and bad. It was a little rough because, you know, Woo was still developing. But yeah, and then since then, we've primarily focused on WordPress and Woo for a majority of our time. Like you mentioned, we do some Shopify as well when a project makes sense. But yeah, we love what you can do with WordPress. We obviously love the community and just the ecosystem that's built around it. So it's been great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Over to you, Kurt.
It's always funny to hear how people came up in WordPress. Thanks for sharing that. I did Joomla for a bit. So I did Joomla, tried Drupal, went to WordPress, and then when all the Hoopla started a couple of years ago, I said, you know, I'm going to see if Drupal's gotten any better. And I launched a Drupal site and I went, nope, not better. Right back to WordPress.
Yeah, it's still Drupal. I actually last year was at a conference where they showed the Drupal AI stuff. And it was kind of neat what they've built, I will say. But it's still just Drupal at the end of the day. But they do have a chatbot built into Drupal, so I'll give them that. But yeah, it's definitely a complicated beast and quite different than WordPress. And I don't know, it doesn't fit for most of our clients. For
sure. Yeah. Same boat. Look, I'm going to be real transparent with you, Matt. I didn't know about the CheckView plugin when you first got booked on the show. So I had to do a little bit of a dive, right? And I'm sure that's like whenever someone creates a new plugin, that's probably part of it, right? How do I get people to even know what the thing is? But can you give me some background on the CheckView plugin from your perspective and what you've built and like why the team developed it? So again, like maybe I'm devil's advocate, but like you read what it does. I bet you there's a ton of agencies out there that go, well, why do we need that? But at the same breath, I get a ton of spam and every now and then I click a link and it goes nowhere. So yeah. Then I go, well, that's why you need a tool like that. But from your perspective, how was it developed? Like, why did you develop it? And what's the key problem that it really solves, especially for agency types?
Yeah, definitely. Great question, Kurt. And I totally get, you know, the skeptics on it. I get both sides, but that's what I'm going to try to kind of explain. So when we built it, we had been running the agency for 10 plus years. And something we came across, and I'm not going to say it was all the time because it's not all the time, but we did come across definitely times where, you know, WordPress forms didn't work as expected, whether that's because they got stuck trying to fill out the fields and there's a JavaScript error or it submitted and then it threw an error, or the email didn't get sent because SMTP stopped working. So we had, in particular, it was actually with Woo. We had a really awkward conversation with a client where their checkout broke and it was during a really kind of important event for them. And it was a really, you know, it was an awkward conversation when he was trying to calculate how much money we lost him, which, you know, we obviously have contracts to protect us, but, you know, you never want to be in that situation. And we ultimately, it was on us to monitor this stuff, right? And as we know with WordPress, one of the beautiful things about it is you can add plugins. You can, you know, there's all this third-party code working, which is fantastic. But on the other end, you can't control everything. But ultimately, as an agency, you're responsible for everyone else's code that you're installing on their sites, right? On client sites. And they don't care if you're half the time using WordPress, right? They just want to know their site works. And most importantly, that if they have forms with leads, that they're getting those. And people can fill them out. And then with Woo Checkout that they can, you know, complete an order properly. I mean, that's pretty much, I would say, the use case for what 90% of the websites most of us are building. So really, it was a situation where we really didn't want to ever be in that situation again. And again, I will note that, you know, I totally get the skeptics that are like, well, you know, I run this website for my nonprofit and we're super tiny. And if we lose a form or two, I don't care. I'll just run an update and it will work, you know, hopefully on the next one. Someone will tell me. And I think there's totally a valid argument to that. But I think as an agency or a business where your, you know, your leads are coming in and they could be worth thousands of dollars, or your checkout, there's definitely an argument that if that piece breaks and you don't know it until someone alerts you, which could be 3, 5 days, 2 weeks later, you're going to have a big problem. I mean, ironically, when we were building this product, one of my favorite stories to tell is that we were using a hosting provider. I'm not going to say which one. They let you set SMTP at the server level, not on a plugin level. And we're like, oh, that's actually better. Well, guess what? We were testing CheckView. I thought CheckView was broken. It was not. The SMTP for the entire server hooked up to SendGrid just stopped working. We contacted the host. They basically said, yeah, this is an actual bug that we had at the server level, which, again, you think can't happen if you're doing it at the server level, but it does. And in that case, the client was relatively disconnected. We were almost like building a site and it was a sub company. So they didn't know who to contact. So they had been trying to figure out why their form wasn't working for about 4 weeks. And they had literally dozens of leads coming in that they never had. And we had to go back to them and be like, well, our plugin picked this up, but here's your, you know, all your leads that it saved at least. So like, definitely, I would say it's more common than people think. Even at going into this, as we built out this plugin, we run tests all the time internally to make sure our plugin's working with all the form plugins we support. And obviously, the form guys know what they're doing, but there still are definitely updates where people's forms sometimes break or there's some sort of field issue and it will get fixed in the next release and no one really notices, but there are some people losing leads over stuff like that and they just have no idea. So that's really why we built it.
Well, from an agency perspective, I can completely see the way you describe that. Like, it seems like everything works when everything works, right? And then a customer buys a mail list or does something, right? And they go, Friday at noon, we're going to launch something, right? And then Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you get the emergency email that something failed, right? Right when they're launching something. So I can definitely see... It, to me, it's like a timing kind of thing. And the updates lately have been really frequent. And the updates have been pretty major. Like, we went for a span where if there was an Elementor update, my team was told not to touch them. Like, don't do any Elementor updates until we know whatever patches need to get done 3 days from now get done. That comes with experience, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember when I used to update them, like, all the time because, you know, I thought that was the right thing to do. But it's really not unless there's a security update, which obviously by running vulnerability scans all the time is important. So you get alerted when it's a security update. But for sure, like, I think that at the end of the day, the way I look at it is when it comes to updates outside of security, if I know that I can run my updates and these items are working, like my leads and checkout, yes, there may be some cosmetic issues. There may be some other issues, but usually those are the most critical things on most sites. So you know at least at that point your client is not going to be yelling and screaming because they're losing money. That's how I look at it.
Well, and then just to wrap this question up and then pass it back to Jonathan, I just really want to emphasize the fact that like when things don't work on a website, it impacts the trust with the end user at a phenomenal depth. So right now on the internet with the amount of scams, nonsense, and stupidity and all, you know, it's like trust is so important. And if someone goes to buy something on your site or to sign up for a lead magnet and it doesn't work, they're not coming back. Typically, they're not coming back.
100%. Yeah, definitely. I think they've even done studies on that. And they found that basically if your form doesn't work on your website, it's some astronomically high level that they will never contact you again. If you never reach out to them because maybe you didn't get on the SMTP side, same thing. They're not going to come back to you again. We see that with leads. If you don't reply to a lead, even if you get the lead, right? If you don't reply within a day as an agency, half the time it's over. So definitely, That's why we ended up building. And I know some people, again, would say that it's overkill, but in our opinion, it's not. And a lot of our clients, especially, I would say if you're an established agency or you're more about, you know, providing a tailored solution for your clients and they trust you as an agency, I would say it's huge. Of course, if you run an e-commerce agency yourself or you run a website where leads are very important, you know, having it even as an individual agency owner and website owner, I think is important.
Nice. Jonathan, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. So with the development of the plugin, what have been a couple of the biggest lessons you've learned?
Oh, yeah. I've learned quite a lot.
So how long has the plugin been public?
So we launched at WordCamp US, not this past year, but the following year. What would that be, 24?
Yeah.
So in 2024, we launched publicly. We were beta testing it with some agencies as well as our own for about 6 months before that. So pretty much like we had a working version early 24. We designed it all in 23. So it's been quite a journey to get there. It wasn't a quick process. Part of it, of course, as you guys know, when you're running an agency and you're also building a platform, you have to balance those. And obviously,
I know that.
Yeah.
Much better than you probably think, because I've been developing a product as well, which hasn't gone public. Might never go public. I hope it will.
Make it happen, man.
Well,
the only reason I made mine happen is because Kyle at the admin bar literally like pushed me weekly, being like, "You've got to do this, man. You've got to get it out." So
I might have a discussion with you about that. So what have been a couple of the biggest lessons you've learned then?
Yeah, I mean, besides obviously the balance of time between an agency and just realizing that that's going to be difficult and, you know, just being able to focus on two major things at once is pretty difficult. But I think some of the things I learned pretty early on was when it just came to the nuances of like a technical product like this. There's, you know, we joke that WordPress is like the king of edge cases, kind of. When you're building stuff out, there's a million ways to do things. But when you're building a tool like this, where people can have a lot of different forms, a lot of ways to do checkout, you do have to really decide on what you're going to support very early on, which requires obviously customer feedback. So getting customer feedback early on, I think, was definitely a big lesson, which honestly I'm still learning and still working on. It's very different than agency land where, you know, with an agency, yes, you need feedback from your clients, but they're usually coming to you. They have a specific need. You have to pull it out of them, but they have a specific need. When you're building product, you've probably heard this a million times, you really do have to talk to those customers one-on-one and figure out what makes sense for, you know, the most, you know, your target audience or, you know, your target user base. You can't make everyone happy. It's not going to be for everyone. Where agency, I try to build and tailor every product, at least as a non-productized agency, for all of our clients, right? Like I tailor everything to them. That's why we do a lot of complicated woo stuff. But I would say that's like a major one, is getting that customer fit, getting customer feedback early. And then just another one I would say is SaaS in general. It's a SaaS product with a WordPress plugin. Right? Because while I would have loved to build this in WordPress itself, the issue is you're having to store all these tests. You're having to run automated testing, basically. You don't want to be doing that on your own website. That would be very, very resource intensive. And the way we really do it is, and I can explain in a minute if you guys want, I can explain kind of how the plugin works, which might be helpful for you know, the audience to know.
Maybe we do that in bonus content a bit later on. I totally understand that it's a SaaS-based product. I think certain products, services aimed at WordPress are done best on a SaaS level. Or it's also a bit can be done on the website and a bit on the SaaS. It's all by case by case. In my mind, a lot of people would disagree with me. They seem to be totally fixated that everything's got to be native, hasn't it? I think there's a balance myself. I don't know what your views on that are, Matt.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I was first building our agency, I was like, let's do everything in WordPress all the time. And I really still obviously enjoy WordPress and try to do that, but it just doesn't it wasn't built for everything. That's just the reality. Yes, you can do everything in it, but it's kind of like, well, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I know not everyone has that opinion, and I think that's okay. But I would say look at most of the maintenance systems that are out there for WordPress, which is the easiest kind of equivalent to what we're doing. And most of them are SaaS-based or at least self-hosted outside of WordPress, right? Think like, you know, WP Umbrella, WP, those sort of things, right? And that's really where we kind of followed when we were looking at like, what's the best way to build this, knowing all the technical, you know, archiving and data that we have to store, and we want to make sure it's lightweight on the actual website. But SaaS was completely different for us because we were a WordPress agency. Yeah. You know, we had built WordPress plugins, we built custom ones for clients, you know, we built themes, that sort of thing. So doing SaaS, building it in Node, React, which, you know, our team did have some experience there. It still was quite a learning curve initially for us to get all that up and running, compared to just let's build a WordPress plugin, they go install it on their site and you never hear from them until, you know, they put in a support ticket, but it's all hosted on their site. So you're basically responsible for all that data. So that was probably one of the biggest things I learned is you're going to get into this space like and do SaaS, you should be aware. But I am seeing more and more WordPress plugins are going more this SaaS hybrid kind of model.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. It's quite uncanny, really. But so you built the plugin. So what, before we go for our break, what has been the biggest lessons that you've learned on the marketing side? Because a plugin, a SaaS, it's a totally different animal than, you know, when I talk to a lot of agency principals, they say, well, we get our clients from referral, which is nice to hear, but I don't believe it myself. I think you get some, it's a lot of outreach. It's a lot of the team going out in the community, building alliances, shaking a lot of hands, doing a lot of work for non-profits that is not paid. Well, it is paid in the end. But when it comes to a SaaS or a plugin, it's a total. So did you have a marketing strategy? Because obviously I'm making the assumption that this is really aimed at the WordPress agency, the freelancer. It's not aimed, well, I might be totally wrong here. That's why I'm asking you this question. I presume it's aimed at the WordPress professional, not aimed at the end user, or is that incorrect? So, and what was your marketing strategy, or have you learned that you need one on the way?
Yeah, so that was one of the lessons I learned. Like, I need a marketing strategy, you know, typical kind of technical founder. I obviously had been in the agency space, so I knew that I needed a marketing plan. But of course, that has been a process that I've been trying to figure out as I go. You know, like listening to podcasts like y'all's, for example, has been like huge in that process. Having some mentors has really helped. But yeah, definitely, it's different than agency work where once you at least get established, it's just kind of referral based, right? Like the first part is hard.
Kind of.
Yeah, it depending what you're doing. But for us, at least, we were coming from mostly referral based. Like, yes, when I started my agency, I was, you know, on Craigslist doing random stuff. But I think with SaaS or even with WordPress plugins in general, you definitely are having to build up your momentum and your noisemaker a little bit. And that really means deciding who you're going after, which, to answer your question, is typically agencies, that's one thing I have figured out very early on is agencies, the WordPress professional is who's using this tool. Mostly, it's not typically like a website owner. We've had some, but I would say almost all of our clients are agencies, you know, or small, I'd say some freelancers, but mostly like agencies that are like a couple people up to like 15 or 20 people, right? Where they have enough sites that like this is something they are not going to be manually testing all the time, which we do have a lot of clients that have come or customers have come to us that used to manually test their client forms and that sort of thing. So definitely though, when it comes to, you know, our marketing plan, we're still working on that. I am working with a marketing coach to kind of improve that process who's in the WordPress space because it is primarily built for WordPress. It can work with actually other sites, but it's primarily all the goodies are really built for WordPress. And that's really what makes it different than if you went and used a different tool out there, because there are plenty of tools that are doing to some extent what we're doing, but they're not as simple for WordPress. They're not catered towards WordPress. There's really nothing on a large scale out there level that it does exactly what we're doing in that space. But yeah, getting into the WordPress ecosystem, even though, you know, I helped with the co-organization on like WordCamp Atlanta and stuff, it's not like I'm this big name in WordPress. So trying to get, yeah, anything out there, it just takes time. And I have talked to many WordPress plugin owners who said it took like 2, 3, 4 years for them to actually build traction, which is, you know, pretty crazy, but it's very much that it's not going to be an overnight success type situation. You may even have to pivot, but having a sound marketing plan, this will be our first year. I think we're going to have like an actual solidified one we're working on now. So it's very exciting.
Right. I thought that was very insightful. Thanks for that, Matt.
Of course.
I think it's time for us to go for our middle break. We've got a ton of other things to discuss with Matt, who's got a ton of experience as an agency principal, and he's plug-in as well. So we will be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the second half, I want to say, if you're looking for a great hosting provider and a lot more, why don't you look at WP Tonic? We specialize in membership, learning management systems, and community-focused websites. Not only do we provide really fantastic hosting packages, but we offer a suite of the best WordPress plugin and technology as part of the package. So you don't have to have that awkward conversation with your clients. We provide all the technology in one bundle. Plus, we provide support for you. So if you're taking on a larger project and you're a bit worried that you're going to be able to finish it, we're there to support you. It's a fantastic package. To find out how you can become a partner with WP Tonic, go over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So over to you, Kurt.
Well, this question is kind of near and dear to me because it affects me personally as well in my agency. But I kind of wanted to get your feedback on this one, Matt.
Yep.
AI. So obviously we bring up AI almost every show, but
who doesn't?
What are your personal views connected to challenges that agencies face with AI over like the next year and a half?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I know that everyone's still talking about AI. I don't think that's going to change. I think we're all sick of it, but also like it's real, right? This is something that is affecting things. I mean, I think my perspective is it's like a lot of other tools. There's a lot of really awesome things about it, especially for agencies. Also just personally, there's a lot of great things about it. There's a lot of, you know, things that are going to be, I think, continue to be disruptive. And if we're not careful, just as a society, you know, we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot with AI. You know, with any technology, we've been kind of moving that way where things are a little less human-centric. And again, without getting too far into that side, I mean, it's like I was in a Waymo, right? And I loved the Waymo experience, but I was like, oh, great. This is another way I'm disconnected from a group I didn't really talk to before, you know? And, you know, it just kind of isolates us in the bubbles. But on the agency side, I think that this was something that I've been using for a long time, obviously with like ChatGPT, but even before that, you know, when we were looking at CheckView, we were looking at some of the early AI tools that were out there for automated testing, because that's really what CheckView is. You know, it sends a bot to the website and it fills out a form, which AI is actually really good at. It's not perfect, but it's getting better at. So we were already kind of looking at those things. But when it comes to agencies, I think it was already a somewhat difficult place for especially smaller agencies to show their value because a lot of clients already knew they could use Wix or Squarespace. And then we talked about how, yeah, that took a little bit of the market, but a lot of people still didn't really want to like even deal with that. They still came to the experts. And I think to some extent, that's still going to be very true. I think people are going to trust people, but there will be another segment, I think, that will be like, okay, I'm just going to use Lovable to build my site. And I do think it's, again, going to continue to be on the lower end of the market, though. Imagine a plumber uses Lovable. He builds his site. He's not thinking about maintaining that site or adding on to it. And that's going to be a nightmare later for him. But at his cost level and what he cares about, he may not care. He might be like, whatever, I'll rebuild it again later. And again, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I'm saying that's how there's going to be some mentality, I think, about that. And then the other part of it that I'll mention, I know this is a whole spiel, but and I think I wrote on this with my LinkedIn, is when it comes to just the disconnect with ChatGPT and chat-based ones, at least with people's brands and their marketing in general. Because, you know, before we kind of had websites, websites were very much like, you know, standalone stores. You kind of had to drive to them. You had to find them. Then we had social, which became more like malls, right? And people could see your competitors, but you still had a little control over the design, et cetera. Got you foot traffic, but it's still not the full experience of your brand, your marketing. And now with, I feel like ChatGPT, you know, Gemini, et cetera, they've abstracted all that out. You know, you get words back, maybe an image. So there's very little branding, very little marketing, which I think is going to make things a little bit more difficult for marketers once again. I think there are going to continue to be websites. I think people still want to go off to websites, but there will be a group, I think, that goes to ChatGPT. They get an answer there. And from there, especially if they integrate in like e-commerce there, they're just never going to go to your website. They're just going to kind of pick it. It's kind of like, you know, Alibaba, but even a lower level, more abstracted, right? I just need this widget. I don't care about the brand. And that's how a lot of other countries actually are. The US is just not that way. We are very brand centric. Good and bad things about that. But so going back to agencies, I think that when it comes to AI, there's going to be more and more I would say, price reduction on websites and less websites to some extent on the lower marketing end. I do think established brands will continue to use website professionals, you know, WordPress professionals to build out sites. I don't think that's changing, but they are going to expect more for less, just like what's happening in every industry. They're going to expect you to, you know, use AI to cut costs or to do more things for them, I think. And so if you're not kind of hopping on using AI as a tool, you're competing against people that are going to be able to spin up websites and, you know, do more custom functionality, et cetera, in a lot less time. And they're going to have to make that comparison with who they want and who they trust, basically. So ultimately, I think it can be good. In the sense you can get more stuff done if that's not your background in certain parts of web development and design. But if you're not doing that and you're not looking ahead, I think it's going to be an issue. It's going to become a problem for some WordPress professionals, which is why our team is digging into it and trying to figure the stuff out as we go, which I think is what a lot of people are doing.
Yeah. So my perspective is actually from the other side of the equation. We've had a few people get pretty bullish about AI on their own, right? Like the website owner. So not the end user, right?
Yeah.
Website owner. And then they contact us and they go, "Hey, I just vibe coded this cool tool. All I need is for you to throw it on my website for me." And,
yeah,
you know, we've bypassed that. Now at my agency, we've actually added, you know, an AI audit service. We've just said, "Hey, here's an AI audit service. It's part of our website. You can get the details here and we'll quote on a per job basis." Coincidentally, one of the jobs that I'm pretty sure it's the job that I kind of priced myself out of and didn't really want to do. I saw a larger WordPress house, I think, get that job and then post about it and about all the security problems they found in that piece of code. It makes me really, really nervous because there's a ton of people in our space, Matt, that don't have the years. They haven't done the reps. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't have that politely scared intuition that says, "Whoa, this is a bad idea." Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see a lot of junk really come out. And I think security would be an issue.
Oh, for sure. I think you're 100% spot on. I think that when it comes to the security side, some people are aware, some people aren't. And when you're, let's say you vibe code a WordPress plugin, you don't really know what's going on under the hood. You don't know what, you know, things are being introduced. And that, like you said, could even be less experienced agencies doing that with their clients, or it could be your own clients. We use a tool we have called Agency Toolkit. It's free in the WordPress repo. But it does let you disable clients installing plugins. I know some people say you shouldn't do that. It's their site, but they, you know, it's our responsibility. We take it very seriously if we're maintaining their site. So we actually disable, we don't allow them to do that. If they want to use FTP or Git, they have to ask us for us and sign like a disclaimer saying, "If you blow up your site, you know, this is on you." But I do think that's a huge concern that people are just installing functions and plugins. And again, it depends on the level of the agency and, you know, if they're still doing code reviews. I don't think there's anything wrong with using AI to develop things if you're still doing a code review on it. But it's definitely a huge concern. And then maintenance of those custom functionalities and plugins. When we work on any site that we inherit, for example, we require a pretty extensive audit. We go through all the custom code. We lose a lot of potential sales because of that, but it's just not something I'm willing to take on. So I think you're 100% spot on. It's definitely a concern that we just have to educate more people, I think, about.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff that freaks me out, like as an agency, because we're a small house. It's me and a couple contractors, you know, and so I got to be real cautious about jumping into some pre-existing project with a bunch of hidden doors, you know. So
definitely. And I mean, I love the idea, and I think you've talked about it on another podcast, of that kind of audit AI package because I thought of a very similar idea. I haven't put it on our site, but I think that's a fantastic idea because I do think we're going to see more and more of people, you know, we inherit these sites and they have all this AI generated code or they want to add AI generated to code. And it's going to, you know, AI to some extent is getting better at coding. There's no doubt about it. It is. But I think it inherently is always going to have security flaws. It's basically just, it's pattern based. It's not thinking. It is pattern based. AGI is not real, at least not right now. So it is just going to learn from patterns. And I think having a service like that, you know, makes a lot of sense. And that's, I would say another benefit of CheckView is not just CheckView, but all automated testing platforms is if people are adding a bunch of code on their site, at least this way they're testing their sites and, you know, they've got some fundamental checks going on when it comes to their mission critical parts of their website. If they are going to add AI, of course, you know, ideally they would have a developer review it. But yeah.
I think I've got almost three separate questions to ask you of this, but I'm going to do that in the bonus content. I really just to quickly remark and then go on to the next question. I haven't really made my mind up. Is AI, can an open source project like WordPress really adapt to AI? In some ways it can because it offers a headless solution that's very popular. Is it actually a more of a threat to SaaS or to open source project? You know, you saw Salesforce share price be hit quite hard. I think it's recovered because people in the industry actually see AI being a threat to established SaaS players. We're going to be interviewing Matt Manowegg in February, and we're going to be discussing these issues with Matt directly. Because to see if he's been thinking about this, because I can't make a decision about it because I think it's all up in the air. But it'd be interesting to hear what Matt's views are about this. So let's go on to the next question. So are there a couple of individuals obviously apart from Kirk and myself that you follow that are that you're really impressed and you read and really follow religiously what they say? Maybe if there is, you could share those with the tribe.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if it's, you know, religiously per se, but definitely.
WordPress is a religion, isn't it?
A little bit. I mean, I can't lie. When I started, when I was younger, I was like, I don't know. WordPress seems a little bit like drinking Kool-Aid. I don't know. And then I end up drinking the Kool-Aid. Here we are, right? But
it's most strange that you say that because it has its good elements because people are very passionate. They're probably more passionate than the average SaaS product. But it also has the bad side as well, doesn't it? Because it has some connotations of religious fervor, doesn't it? Almost when you say it at its worst.
Yeah, I think in some sense, you know, especially if you're coming in from an outsider, you can be like, you can obviously, people are super friendly, but at the same time, I think some of the flaws of WordPress people just overlook because they obviously see, if you're in it, you see all the benefits from the ecosystem and the community and the people, not necessarily, let's say, flaws or issues with core, which if you're just looking at the technical side, you know, I think why WordPress got to where it is 100% exactly what you're talking
about. Well, I think
a lot of it is.
I think one of the areas is that I've had on principle some concerns about Matt Malweg's position, but I've never, and I think Kirk would agree with this because I do listen to Kirk, is I haven't made it a kind of personal attack when I've disagreed with Matt Malweg. But there is a certain group in the WordPress, they make it very personal when they disagree with somebody or and a lot of things are grey, aren't they? But they have this kind of religious fervour and they really start gunning for people, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is definitely a concern. I mean, yeah, when I was looking even at Disney and options from the business standpoint, I was already looking at, oh, Matt Mullenweg basically runs this thing. Should I be, you know, advising Disney to use a CMS that's kind of dictated by one person? And that, you know,
or do you go with us, or, you know, with Drupal and Joomla, it's by committee, isn't it?
Which has a whole lot of issues too.
Which has its own issues. Or do you go, you know, when I was an active developer before I had a major burnout, I was doing a lot of work in WordPress, but I was doing a lot of work in the Expression Engine. I don't know if you've ever. Oh, he's shaking his head. He's just gone gray.
Yeah, I did a little bit with it, but most of my background actually was in Joomla before WordPress, and the design by committee thing was a, you know, I hate to say it, it was hard. I had more issues kind of integrating myself in that community than I did actually in WordPress because. You know, there was definitely, I would say, a lot of levels that kind of kept it from growing as much as it could have. And a lot of it was just personal, you know, kind of territory with people, stuff like that. So there's obviously benefits to all of these different models of organizations. But it is funny that, you know, you bring that up, you know, with just the religious fervor. But I do think ultimately the reason WordPress has done so well is because people marketed it out in the world, and it was a good combination with having, you know, someone like Matt that had a vision and getting it out and making it a household kind of, you know, CMS name, which a lot of the other CMSs weren't able to do. And ultimately that allowed WordPress, with its simple, you know, database and its simple processes, really to become this, you know, much more robust, flexible option. So I actually think it's a really cool story how WordPress was able to evolve from a blog into a full-blown CMS, because on paper, it wasn't necessarily the best CMS out there. But I think it grew into that over time. And I think that's a really neat story. And a lot of it's because of the people that made that happen. And yeah, I think it's
so. What's the cool. As typical, I kind of went off topic. So what are a couple individuals that really impress you?
Yeah, so one would be, I don't know if y'all know Ian Misner. He runs Kestrel on the Woo side. He also was part of, I think, Skyverge before that. But, you know, I've talked to him many times, and he's kind of helped talk me through some of the just from like the product management side of things, right? And he has some really cool ideas of, you know, the perfect balance of how to manage your team as you're building out products. Because that is another thing I forgot to mention, is like another thing I've learned is, as an agency owner, I am not a product manager. Now I'm basically, I also have a product manager hat, which is a completely different job. So from my product management side, He's one that I think has done really well to develop out a really good process and how he handles support, how he handles out new features, and then his transition just from Skyverge over to Kestrel. And he also is relatively vocal about like Woo and the direction they're going, which I appreciate. He wants Woo to continue to improve, because that's pretty much where his ecosystem is. And he's not afraid to talk about it. So he's definitely one. If you haven't checked him out, I know he was just...
Give him an invite. What's another one?
So another one I would say, who I will note, I don't know as well, but I definitely follow on, you know, LinkedIn, and I've talked to a little bit, is I think it's Ariello. I don't know how to say his name specifically. He's from WP Umbrella. But he, you know, is one of the founders of WP Umbrella. What I love about him is he's super transparent about their build out, from when they built the SaaS to their transparency reports on users, and the fact that he was getting into a relatively established SaaS space within WordPress, WordPress maintenance plugins, right? There was already managed WP, WP Remote, a lot of good options relatively out there, and they were able to carve a niche. So I think his journey and his story and the things he continues to just pretty transparently share about building their SaaS from the SaaS side, I think is definitely worth checking out if you're looking at doing a SaaS or, you know.
Thanks for the recommendations. Like I'll probably do some outreach. They sound tremendous discussions. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think that drives us near the end of the pre-planned questions. And the one that we like to finish up our shows with is, you know, the whole time machine question. If you could go back in time, you know, whether it's a TARDIS or Stargate or whatever your favorite sci-fi is, if you could go back in time, beginning of your career journey, what advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say connect earlier to the community, connect earlier with mentors, 100%. I spent like 10 years figuring out everything I honestly could have figured out in a couple of years, made basically every mistake. I was really lucky that I had some really good long-term clients that let me kind of do that. But
this conversation is uncanny, actually. Actually, it's been quite good. I've been feeling a bit sorry for myself.
Why?
A couple of months, but we have to discuss that off air. I'm in a better mood lately. It's been uncanny, this conversation, actually. That's fantastic. I forgot, did I interrupt Kirk, or was our beloved guest going to actually tell us what
he was in the middle of telling us something really insightful and personal?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Troy.
It got you excited. It made you, you know, put you in a better mood. I mean, that is why we're in WordPress. I feel like when I talk to WordPress people, I always get in a better mood, or at least most of the time.
Well, can you tell us when I rudely interrupted you? I did do it on purpose, though. What you were going to finish off with, Matt?
Yeah. So definitely the mentoring side, or just being part of the community and getting surrounded by other agencies, whether that's in person or online. You know, I went to WordCamps and some meetups over the years, but I'll be completely honest. I think it was Christina Romano. I don't know if she's even still in the WordPress space as much, but she had a course, and that course kind of got me eventually to Kyle at the Admin Bar, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. And you know, I was just introduced to like so many new people. And again, like I was kind of in the space before, but once I was in that group and some of the other groups out there, you just, you know, you don't feel alone. You don't make the same mistakes. You have people to talk to. You find mentors that way. So I'd say if, you know, you're starting an agency or you haven't done any of that as an agency, it's definitely worth doing. And then secondly, on a not very insightful note, if I could go back, I would have started offering WordPress maintenance plans years and years ago, like back in 2010, 11, because I was obsessed with doing, I told you, I loved doing the maintenance stuff, right? Like I would do it too much if I had thought of maybe getting a productized service out of that years ago. Oh man, that would have been huge. But that is obviously not as insightful. That's just my own thing. But yeah, definitely mentor and community. It really is everything, even if it took me a while to figure that out.
Well, Matt, you're going to have to come back later on in the year. I've really enjoyed the conversation. We're going to have some bonus conversation with Matt, and you'll be able to watch it all on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. But we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. So, Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Kirk?
Well, if it's for business or consulting, I'm at mananonomas.com. And if it's just to chat or get to know each other, man, LinkedIn is my connection tool. Jump on the LinkedIn.
And Matt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, your views, and what you're generally up to?
Yeah, definitely. So for the agency side, definitely hit us up at inspiree.com. Anything around e-commerce, Shopify, or just, you know, more complex, I'd say WordPress plugin development. Happy to chat, you know, just free consultation for CheckView, checkview.io. Happy to have a demo, show it to you. Again, no cost. We also have a trial. And then lastly, I'm trying to get more active on LinkedIn. So you can find me there. Everyone hopefully cheerlead for me. I'm not as open. I'm trying to be. So I've been putting some posts on there. Definitely follow if you haven't.
Yeah, definitely look at CheckView. It seems a really fantastic plug-in SaaS solution. Definitely fills a need. So I would highly recommend it. What I've seen, hopefully Matt's going to give me a license so I can try it out. You never know. It depends how generous he feels. But it does
look really... We can get you a license.
It looks really cool, actually. We're going to wrap it up. If you want to support the show, like I say, go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel and watch the whole interview plus the bonus. Give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. That would be very appreciated. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this show on your mobile device, on Spotify or iTunes, leave a review. That really does help the show also. We will be back next week with another great interview. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye. So 3, 2, 1. We're going into the bonus. So I think as you were talking about what your personal views around agency and AI, I don't know if you're aware of this particular story. It kind of exploded today, actually. It came on my radar, and it's from Adam Wiven. I think I'm pronouncing Adam's second name correctly, hopefully, the CEO and creator of Tailwinds. He did a X post. It's an audio, just him just talking, basically, as he was walking. And he was talking about how Tailwinds has been really affected by AI because... there's just been a dramatic drop in traffic to the Tailwinds website, and that's where they sell Tailwinds Pro and some other add-on products that basically finance the open source project, which is Tailwinds. And he's had to let go about 75% of his staff, and because he didn't realize how sales were being gradually whittled down. They've got plans, but it's a brutally honest audio discussion as he's walking. I've never spoken to Adam. I'll probably later on in the year try and get him on the show because he sounds a fabulous guy. But I think a lot, what if, you know, obviously, I'm very big into SEO. I'm into WordPress, but I'm a marketer now, and I'm big into SEO. And a lot of people, and I think it's affected the plugin space to some degree, but obviously that's one of the factors, because you don't offer, because it's a SaaS, and that you don't offer a free version. Was that a big decision? Because I think a lot of people that got this premium model, they haven't been so effective because they generate their premium sales by offering a free version of the plugin. You decided not to go down that road for obvious reasons, because there's costs in what you're doing, isn't there? Or did you think about offering a free version? What was your thoughts around that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think you bring up some really good points, even with Adam and Tailwind. I'll mention, I haven't read that or listened to that, but I do know...
It's really impressive for him to be so...
Transparent.
It's a painful... I feel for him, and I'm sure they're going to recover. This is a fabulous product, isn't it?
Well, that's, I think, what's just detrimental is it's not just a fabulous product. It's everywhere. And, you know, if I spin up a new lovable app, it's probably going to use Tailwind. But the user doesn't know that. And to their point, that means they're never going to get the license for it. They're never going to actually know it's there. It's just running in the background. And it's really unfortunate. I would say that, you know, I think they focus primarily on lifetime deals, which can have its place. But I think with a product like his, where literally they load it via CDN for free, they're not Google. They don't have Google money. Google can do that. So I'm hoping that they change their model. And I'm okay paying for Tailwind, you know, for some of the apps I've built. Like, I mean, you should.
I think you made some fantastic points there, because I'm not one of these that attacks lifetime deals. I think they have a place, especially to get traction, but you can well overdo it, and it can lead to some, either the company getting into a really bad place, or you have to do some dicey stuff around not giving a true lifetime deal. And I think both have consequences. One very short can be disastrous in the short term, but the other one can lead to consequences as well, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the person that I've seen who takes the best approach, who actually does lifetime deals, is probably Katie with Barn 2.
Yeah.
She's always very keenly aware of how much they're doing. She's keeping it under a certain ratio every year. And I think that's where, again, I mean, obviously Adam is brilliant, but if they had a process in place probably like that, where how many sites are actually loading Tailwind and keeping their kind of lifetime deals in mind with how much they grew, it probably would have been a lot more sustained. And what, again, it's in hindsight, I'm not in their position. I don't know all the ins and outs, but that's why Katie does that, I think, is because it ultimately will dilute the value of your organization on top of obviously the costs too. Like, if you ever are looking at an exit, you're not going to be able to get an exit if you have 50% lifetime deals. That's going to be extremely difficult. So yeah, I think it's, I really feel for Tailwind because we use it in a lot of projects. But ultimately, for us, when we...
Because the other factor he was talking about is that over the last 18 months, and I've seen it at the WP Tonic website, it's recovered to some degree, but I've had to put in a tremendous amount of work, just mind-blowing level of work. He's seen a 40% decline in traffic to their website. And I've spoken to other people. I'm not sure if you've seen it, because you're in the e-commerce space. And I think content marketing, but I think it affects e-commerce as well, unless you're a really established brand. Have you been hearing from your own clients about reductions in traffic, and you've been having those discussions?
Definitely. I mean, you know, we are more on the development and the design side, but we obviously work with a lot of marketing agencies of our clients. And that is a constant issue right now, because it comes back to kind of what we were saying before, which is it's abstracted all of the branding and marketing out. So even if you do land in ChatGPT, you're just another bullet on that list. That's it. Unless they go to your website, you can't actually show your value. Most of the time anyways. But for us, as far as Inspiree, our agency goes, I think we were kind of niched in enough at Woo that we've actually gotten some leads in the past couple months from ChatGPT. Yeah. I've asked people and they said, oh yeah, ChatGPT. And I was like, super surprised. But yeah, I mean, I think if you are, especially for like plugins, I've also heard that, like, WordPress plugin owners, where, you know, people would type in like what their problem is in Google, and then they'd go to the website because they wrote a blog post about it. People aren't doing that now. They just go to ChatGPT a lot and they get an answer.
I'm not sure about that. I think it's been more, I think it depends on industry to industry. But I think AI overviews from Google, because when you look at the latest data, I think about 4 to 6% has been going to ChatGPT, but Google still dominates the market. I think it depends on the industry. I think if you're in the development area or tech, probably the amount of drop-off from Google to things like ChatGPT is higher, but generally general certs. But I think it's been the AI overviews, and I totally understand why Google did it, because they had to, in a way. But I think that's been the real hammer, rather than ChatGPT or Perplexity or any of them, really. But that's my point of view. I might be wrong. But so
I think you're wrong though. I do think that's the Google AI overview is, like you said, they basically had to do it. They don't even know how they're going to make money off of it. I assume they're going to force us to pay ads and get in the overviews or something, right? Which unfortunately is still not great, in my opinion, because then it's just PPC all over again.
Well, this is the thing that's not discussed. You brought up another, you definitely have to come back. You brought up some fantastic topics. This is the other area which I haven't seen really expressed in all the podcasts and influencers that I follow, is that people presume that ChatGPT or Perplexity or whatever they're using, it's just telling you the product because it actually does. It's made a mathematical assumption that it is the best product. But if you introduce paid advertisement on that level of naivety, and I know that's rather vicious to say it, but I think it is a level of naivety, and I think it comes because it comes from a non-human source in a way. But I suppose it applies to people naivety around WordPress YouTube influencers or any type of influencer, because the reality is the more credible ones actually say, I'm being paid to promote this product.
Right.
But lots of them, they don't even say, do they? They just take the money and they just promote something, don't they? So, but I presume when anybody is on YouTube or anything and they're talking about a product, they're probably being, my stance is they're probably in some way being paid for it. And that might be unfair, but I haven't got a problem with it. I just presume that they're being paid for it. And so then I treat everybody the same, you know. So I'm not bothered by it because everybody's got to make a living, haven't they?
Yeah, but I think you are correct on both points, which is with Google search, people kind of knew it was a list of rankings. But when they're using ChatGPT, they think it's like an advisor. And then if you start introducing paid search, it now is kind of this, is it a trusted advisor? Probably not, right? And then YouTube, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I have even learned when I've been marketing CheckView is a lot of stuff is pay to play. That's just how it is. That's how the world works, I guess, right? So I do think YouTube, et cetera, like a lot of blogs, a lot of the partnerships you see are pay to play because ultimately, yes, people have to make money. But I do think to your point, being transparent is what's key. So what I imagine Google would do in this case is they would treat it like PPC where it says it's sponsored or something like that. And it would give you a list of like, here's the plugins or companies that are doing what you need. And then they would mark that somehow showing you, you know, that these are sponsored. I would assume they're going to have to make money eventually on this. They're spending so much money. They said it's going to take like, I forgot what the crazy amount of investment is. They said it would have to be like, I could be wrong on the stat, but it was like 100 years worth of productivity or something to pay back in the industry of AI investments for like human capital. I don't know. It's something crazy. So we'll see what they do. But I do think the overviews, like you said, I mean, I use the overviews and it definitely keeps me from going into two websites. And I think that's ultimately...
It's both strange, isn't it? Because I utilize AI content. I still produce a lot. I produce a lot of video, and I'm looking at other marketing channels. But I will still be producing blog posts and that. And I do use AI. I rewrite it and I edit it strongly, and it's around topics that I actually know something about. And it's a good job I do because it's full of inaccuracies or out of date or assumptions that I totally disagree with about what's the best learning management plugin at the present moment. It's totally, in my opinion, totally incorrect. So I have to edit it strongly. But if I didn't know anything about the topics and I just publish it, it would be just AI dribble because
Right.
It's not right, or its opinion isn't right. Is this making any sense, Matt?
Oh, 100%. And I think that is something I've thought about even not just with business, but in general is, and this may be a little dark, and this is just my opinion, but what I realized when AI was introduced is that there's kind of like a certain level of value that people get out of, you know, the different services, the different businesses that they're interacting with. And they're expecting to get a job done and they're trusting you to do it. But ultimately, they're not typically like double checking it. They're not reading into the details. So that's why I think there's this constant fight between people that are like, AI is amazing and it does everything. And then AI is inaccurate and doing, a lot of things really poorly, is because I think, as you said, as you get deeper into it, if you're an expert on that topic, you're going to realize the issues it has. But the real question is this actually affecting the end result to your customer? Do they even know? And that's kind of depressing, but like, obviously, you know, you should do the right thing. But I think it's only taught me more that like a lot of the work that we do maybe is, I'm not going to say it's not effective, but we have to make sure people are getting value out of it. And we're only including things that have value, because if it has value, they're going to know. If it's something that they're not really paying attention to, or this does the job, then, you know, maybe this wasn't the best use of our time.
Right? Yeah, I was wondering where you were going with that, but now I think I understand.
Because
you can focus on things which the actual end losers, your clients, don't actually care. And right. You should be focusing on the things that they do really care about. The last area I want to cover, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, and you've been very gracious with it, is, which you know a hell of a lot about, is WooCommerce. Now, where do you think WooCommerce is at the beginning of 2026? You know, its big competitor is Shopify. They're two different animals. I will be putting a question to Matt. I know automatic through marketing and other statements, they're trying to up their game, but I think they're leaving a lot of money on the table. They should have a fully hosted. A lot of people in the WooCommerce in the agency space would probably disagree with me, but I think that automatic should have a fully hosted solution that really competes with Shopify head to head. But then you have the ability to have a self-hosted solution where the hosted solution doesn't fill your requirements. And I think that would be a win-win for the WooCommerce agencies and a win for automatic. Am I being naive, because I'm not the dullest blade, but I'm not the sharpest blade either. My bank balance will prove that. But I think I'm only, or am I missing something? Where do you see where WooCommerce is against Shopify and some of the other competitors?
Yeah, well, let me start by saying, if you think you're not the smartest and not the dumbest, that means you're actually pretty smart. Because they say, if you think you're the smartest, you're probably not the smartest, right? So yeah. I think that's a good... Yeah, but
I just interrupted. I've been trying to cut it. I have cut it back, and I don't do it out of spite. I don't know. I think it's something to do with StreamYard and Zoom, but there we go. I'm making an excuse, but I have tried to cut back, though.
No, you're good. You're good. I mean, I get it. But when it comes to Woo, I think, like you said, they're putting some more marketing behind it. They're trying to work on that brand a little bit. I think that where Woo, at least personally using it all the time, from an agency perspective, it does honestly what we need it to do most of the time. We don't really have a lot of issues with that. It does require extra plugins, but that's because we're dealing with those plugins and honestly our clients aren't. Maybe they're having to pay for some, but you know, if they're an established business, that's usually not an issue. They just don't want to. I think where Woo really struggles, in my opinion, is if you aren't an e-commerce WordPress professional and you're trying to build your first e-commerce site, or if you're a do-it-yourselfer who is not building websites, right? And I think that's where Shopify has excelled, not only because they host it, which to your point, it does help move the needle, but they have a lot more built in on functionality. Woo was built very minimal. I think it was purposeful. But I do think what Automattic's now trying to do and what WordPress.org is trying to do with Woo is they're trying to build in more actual features that pretty much every e-commerce site needs, like with taxes and shipping, and they just added cost of goods, you know, sold, stuff like that. Because what ends up happening, I think, is if Woo is almost like a step more challenged than WordPress. The challenge with WordPress, as we all know, is because it's self-hosted, people have to learn what hosting is and they have to set up a site. And that is a process. The onboarding is difficult. Then you have Woo that has that issue, but also doesn't even have all the functionality you expect an e-commerce site to have, right? So in my opinion, it's actually easier to fix that second issue first, which is let's try to get the rest of the features in. And things like Jetpack, where they have like tax calculations built in, let's continue to build on that so it can compete with Shopify. I think a hosted solution, Woo or Automattic tried to do, they had Woo Express for a couple of years, which, and now I think they're trying to push some version eventually to WordPress.com with more e-commerce integration. I think it's a great idea.
Why have if you got any insight why they have not been able to effectively do it and, you know, offer really, if you, well, I don't know if you're prepared to share what your real views of, I don't blame you. Because you've got to be a bit careful, you can upset people. But have you got any view? Because to me, it's a win, you know, there's so much money in that area, and Shopify is, it's been a while since I built out my last Shopify, but that can quickly turn when I was doing it with using third party solutions, and that could turn into a bit of a nightmare.
Oh yeah.
In its own right. And you think I would have been better off building this in Woo but it swings and roundabouts.
Right. Yeah. They each have their challenges, but I think, and this is just like my perspective, at least traditionally, I don't know if it was that Automattic didn't realize the net kind of value of Woo. I think what it was primarily is WordPress was built as a content management platform, a blogging platform, and e-commerce was almost like a secondary add-on. And some people would say it even kind of goes against the ethos of WordPress being democratizing everything, because Woo is for e-commerce, for making money straight up. That's the only reason you build on it. So I think from that vision standpoint, it was maybe difficult from the focus standpoint to like focus on Woo as much. I think now they're realizing, like you said, there's a ton of money in that. They need to continue to grow, especially Automattic, to fund WordPress. So to fund it, they need Woo to grow, and now they're doing that, but they're very early on in that.
The reason why I went down this road with you, because it's got echoes of what Adam of Tailwinds and I think Matt is really passionate about open source, because that's what he told me when I had my last discussion with him. He seems very passionate about open source. For automatic and an open source project, it needs money. It needs, right. And that's what Tailwind is finding. You gotta have money to keep an open source project moving, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, some people would disagree, but when you look at the contribution rate of Automattic versus everyone else, they build most of WordPress. That is the reality, and I'm not afraid to say that. So obviously they have a lot of issues that they have been working through and a lot of other things going on. But ultimately, unless, you know, the hosting companies spend a lot more money contributing, it's going to be, difficult to grow. So I think from the Woo side, Automattic is realizing that they are trying to come up with a product now. They're also on the agency side trying to, for the first time, really pushing for agencies, at least our size, on the smaller side, realizing Shopify did a very good job of catering towards us. And so Woo is picking up on all of this with Automattic, but I think it's taking time. But I do think ultimately having some hosted solution makes sense. I think, like you said, having the open source self-hosted solution also makes sense, but integrating probably more functionality into some sort of paid, productized SaaS option, kind of like Jetpack, honestly, not necessarily Jetpack, but imagine if there was a Jetpack equivalent, or maybe it is Jetpack, that not just does taxes, but it helps with a lot of the payment gateways, it helps with shipping. And that's kind of what Automattic's been trying to do. But having that kind of optional flexibility to install that on your site, if you want all this stuff built in, you just install their plugin. It's going to do a lot of those things Shopify does that would be very heavy lifting, and you'd have to buy the individual payments and shipping and taxes and, you know, add-ons, I think. And then they could potentially charge some nominal fee or something for that, right? So I do think there is a space, and that's where Automattic's trying to eventually go with that. I just think it's taking time for them to figure it out. But right now, when you know you look at it, I think Woo is getting more stable. They're adding new features. There's way more focus than has been on it in many years, actually, I think.
Have you got time for one other question, or you've got to be off?
No, yeah, go for it.
So you're really... You know, you got your agency in Atlanta. I checked you over. You've got a very good reputation in Atlanta, and your national work as well. You know, to me, obviously on the DIY front, or the small company that's brought in a one-person marketing expert. I think WordPress has been losing traction quite rapidly in the Northern and European market to things like Wix and to Squarespace, right? I think the growth has been in the Far East to some degree in the Indian subcontinent, but in the more established Western markets, it's been losing. What's helped it maintain market share is its dominance in the agency market. Now, obviously, you've got Wix Studio. They've been throwing a ton of money at it about improving SEO, getting some major SEO influencers to say that Wix Studio is a lot better. And then you've got a couple of other products aimed at the agency. Now you've got products like Lovable and a couple of others. Where do you think WordPress is at the beginning of 2026 with the small to medium-sized agency market? Do you see a substantial decline, or do you think if some things are sorted out and, you know, you've got the headless option with it as well, where do you think we're going to see that side of the market moving in the next year, 18 months?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. I think for less established businesses that are starting out, like you mentioned, a lot of them looked at Wix and Squarespace and that sort of thing. And I think a chunk has slowly kind of gone that way from WordPress. I think I'm actually less concerned with the Wix and Squarespaces of the world. I am mostly concerned for WordPress in that part of the market with things like Lovable, because I think it's actually less about AI and it's more about the age of people building sites, that are going to be building less established sites, and they're not going to be, you know, in their 30s and 40s necessarily. They're going to be in their teens or 20s. And those people aren't using WordPress most of the time, is what I'm at least finding.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually less because of anything WordPress has done. It's just these, a lot of these, I would say, teens, et cetera, they can't grow up with apps. They want to type it in a chat prompt and it just builds a whole site for them, which is a much bigger social conversation. But at the same time, that is, I think, what they're looking for to some extent. And I think that's what WordPress is going to be competing with more and more this year, next year, the following year, for like small marketing sites, is those spun up AI ones. And obviously you can argue all the benefits of WordPress, but I think where WordPress has the most benefit long-term, 100%, is true to its open source nature, which is when you need to build something flexibly, modularly, you need to continue to add on it as it grows. That will always be WordPress's power from the technical standpoint, I think. And I honestly think that's even what Woo is advertising now. They aren't advertising, we are your e-commerce shopping cart. They are now advertising, we are the most flexible cart for your custom user experience. And I do think they are spot on with that. And I think Automattic is starting to realize in that. And that's why they started the Automattic for Agencies program, which you haven't joined. If you're an agency, you might consider it if, you know, you're okay with Automattic. But that's their support system for agencies that are, you know, established.
I suppose the real crux is that is AI and things like Lovable more of a threat to Wix and Squarespace than even WordPress?
Oh, 100%. I think so. Because if I'm a do-it-yourselfer, why would I use Wix or Squarespace if I can spin it up with Lovable, as long as Lovable gets good enough that it can do like remedial edits and that sort of thing, right? Because they're basically direct competitors. I think WordPress on the low end is a direct competitor. But as you get into the mid-market and more complex WordPress sites, it's not a competitor with those other platforms quite as much.
But won't Wix, they must look at this, Wix and Squarespace, do you think they've got the ability, they've got the money probably, just to become a kind of competitor to Lovable? Or is the technology and the people involved and the legacy and all the other factors that we're not aware makes that a lot more difficult in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to build their own AI, you know, generated features in those platforms. They already are doing that. But of course, that's just like you said, they are an established brand. It kind of goes back full circle to what you were saying, which is, with AI, it seems to be, you know, minus the big Googles of the world, a lot of these AI tools, you know, it's almost like CMSs back in the day, where there were a billion CMSs coming out, right? And one would get thrown in the trash after another because people were building these AI
tools. It was as bad as JavaScript libraries.
I was going to say that as well. Yes, JavaScript libraries, the same thing. So I think there's a lot of tools being built that are technically going to be better than Wix or Squarespace for people that are trying to build their own. But for the people that realize, oh, I want something established, I want something that's going to stick around, probably sticking to like WordPress. And, you know, if you're going to use one of those SaaS platforms like Squarespace and Wix, makes more sense. But I think a lot of people don't think like that, right? They're just like, what can do it the fastest? What looks the best? And there's going to continue
and
to be
in
AI
the word, tools. And then you've got the other element in the WordPress space where you've got players like GoDaddy, Bluehost, that, you know, there's about half a dozen that are producing, it's based on WordPress, but they are building AI quasar solutions, are they? Which I think won't be very exportable at all.
Right.
But they're really delving into that. How do you think that's going to play out?
I mean, I think that is not, I think it's actually a good play in the sense that it would allow people to generate AI sites, which a lot of people want to. You can argue if it's good or bad. they're able to generate these sites, but they still have complete control over the sites as long as they're not using proprietary stuff.
Exactly. I suppose it does depends on how exportable it is, isn't it?
Right. But I think if you actually build that, I am usually looking at those tools for that reason. I'm not using them right now, but I think those sort of tools are actually pretty neat because they give you the best of kind of both worlds. You can do whatever you want with WordPress. You get the power of open source and all the code modifications you want to make, but you're still able to generate things really fast and on the fly. So I actually think that's the sweet spot where WordPress could eventually land itself. And to me, that would make a lot of sense that WordPress would do that. And maybe with the Abilities API for WordPress that's coming out, plugin developers, like we use Cadence, and Cadence builds some AI tools in right now, but I'm hoping they actually take it to the next level. Not that we're going to be using it all the time. We still
The basic thing we use, and I use on my own website, is Cadence. I was really sad to hear that Ben had left.
Right.
Because he's a fabulous guy. You know, I don't know him that well, but I've been interviewed him 3 times. And he's always been extremely helpful towards me. Just seems a really fantastic guy. So I was sad to hear that. But
for sure.
Well, I think we wrap it up. You have to come back. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Matt. I would love to.
You've dealt with my slight interruptions and my mind wandering really well. But I think we really covered a lot of really interesting stuff. And thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. Thank you. We'll be back next week with hopefully another fantastic interview like this. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.